The territory of Hawaii in the first half of the past century was in some ways a successful social experiment, with people from Asia, the Pacific, and the mainland living in relative harmony. But it was at the same time a rigidly stratified society, with the so-called Big Five business giants firmly in control, propped up by laborers who had to take what they could get. That all changed in the years after the Second World War, when organized labor got a foothold in Hawaii and never let go. HPR's Kuve Hiraishi looks back with us at the popular movement that upended Hawaii society. Hi, Kuve.
Aloha, Chris.
Thanks for coming in.
Yes, and happy belated Labor Day.
That's right.
I was looking into sort of one of the many strikes that happened in the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. This particular one began on Labor Day in 1946, and it was the first strike to ever shut down the sugar industry here in Hawaii. So we're talking 33 of the 34 plantations across the island states are just all the workers will not come to work, and they could not do anything about it.
What a shockwave that sent, huh?
It was. It's looked upon as the most, the sort of best organized strike, or the first organized strike, highly organized strike, that was successful in doing exactly that. Because prior to this, all the strikes were sort of done by particular ethnic groups,
right,
in sort of these silos. So the Japanese would organize. But when the Japanese organized on a plantation, what the plantation owners would do was go and pay the Portuguese or the Filipino
yeah,
more money to go and do what the Japanese. So the
play them off against each other.
Exactly. And it was actually one of the strategies. They don't talk about it too much, but it was one of the strategies of the plantation owners to make sure that they wouldn't get along,
yeah,
so that they could still be producing sugar.
Well, to coordinate a strike like the one you're describing, it takes communication.
And
trust. You know,
exactly.
Which are the things that frequently keep labor movements from getting off the ground. You know, you sow the seeds of distrust among people, aggravated by ethnic tensions, right?
Exactly. Historic ethnic tensions. And
yeah,
that was something that they were very aware of. In fact, an interesting fact about this particular strike was that there was word going around on the plantations that the ILWU, the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, was organizing, was trying to get people organized.
Mm-hmm.
So what the plantation owners began to do was go to the Philippines, bring in 6,000 laborers with the idea that these laborers would not side with the union, because they just got here. They don't know who to trust, but mm-hmm, they can trust the folks that just brought them there.
Mm-hmm.
But what the ILWU did was they had workers, cooks, that were working on the ships that were bringing over the Filipinos.
Oh.
And so what they did was they recruited the Filipinos. So by the time that everyone landed in Honolulu or wherever they were going to be, they had new union members.
Uh-huh.
And the Filipinos joined in this strike because they were able to get them before they got here.
Well, that's really what it is, especially, you know, you always wonder how that first labor action gets going, once there's a pattern, it's another thing. But that very first time that you get to, you know, you say, I'm not going to work, you have to trust that the other parties don't go to work either.
Right. And this was a 79-day strike.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was interesting to, so who I spoke to for this was William Pewitt. He's a professor over at the Center for Labor and Education and Research at UH West Oahu. And what he was telling me was that during these strikes, these people, they're not getting paid, but they're also not sitting around waiting for something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They actually are working every day to get the strike done with or keep the morale boosted. So they would have a morale committee, they'd have a strike negotiation committee.
Mm-hmm.
And the committee that was really interesting was the bumming committee. So the bumming committee's job was to go to mom-and-pop stores or wherever they could sort of solicit donations for food for folks who didn't have money saved up,
uh-huh,
and make sure that people were being fed and people could get the necessities,
yeah,
that they needed for this. I mean, it's almost 79 days, almost 3 months, right?
Yeah. One of the remarkable things about a strike like that is that most of the strikers are people who are basically at subsistence level.
Exactly.
They can barely go 2 weeks without that paycheck, right?
Exactly. And what they were, so one of the key issues here, like all the other strikes, was better pay, better living conditions. But one thing that did change on account of this strike was the Percocet system. So not like the drug, but we're talking about the long form for the word perks. So these are benefits. And prior to this, things like housing and medical were given as favors by the plantation owners to the workers. So if there was ever, it was never a right. So if there was ever some word getting around that you were taking part in a strike, or you were talking to the guy who was organizing a strike,
you weren't going to get those favors.
You could be moved to the crappiest shack on the on the plantation, and you'd have to live with that because you need some place to stay. So after the strike, that system, the Percocet system, was abolished, and things like housing and medical were seen. I think what they did initially was they were given the cash equivalent to go out and pay for housing or whatnot. But eventually these things became labor rights for our workers.
So many people in Hawaii are beneficiaries of what happened in the late 1940s. Do you think the latest generations to come along are really aware of that history?
I think in Hawaii we are, but I think we aren't aware of the conditions, the squalid working conditions, and what had to be done to get what we have right now.
We tend to pretty up our history.
We do, the rise of the union from that point on, really, like you said, they got a stronghold on the industry. Right now, we are at nearly 20% of the workers in Hawaii are represented by a union, and that's the second highest union rate in the nation, behind New York.
Well, that's some valuable background, Kuvei. Thanks very much.
Yes, thank you.
Kuvei Hiraishi is HPR's General Assignment Reporter.